Today on Compassion Radio.
I think the most confused comment we get is about the cancer plaque that goes in the bag. Mm. It's a little encouragement in a poem form.
I'm holding one in my hand. It's a beautiful gilded and black frame, and on this canvas print with these beautiful flowers, it says what cancer cannot take from you. It cannot take away your faith, shatter your hope, or lessen your love. It cannot destroy true friendship, invade the soul, or take away eternal life. It cannot conquer your spirit.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram spends time with people who live their lives in a missional way, whether it's in a mud hut in remote Africa, a church in war-torn Ukraine, a village in Nepal devastated by an earthquake, or one of the countless Christ-centered ministries in the United States. Bram is there, tirelessly bringing you the life-changing stories of God's love, goodness, and faithfulness. I'm Frank Montenegro, and on today's program, we'll hear part one of a conversation that Bram and his wife Sandy had with the Hartmans, a very special couple who've been called to minister the love of God to people who are fighting cancer. It's a powerful story of hope and encouragement, so don't go away.
I have the distinct honor of sitting down with some people that I greatly admire, and I know by the time we're through talking today that you, my dear Compassion Radio friends, are going to love these people as much as I do. Well, maybe not quite as much. Why? Because they're family, and I'm very proud to call them family and not ashamed at all to put them on the air with you. Why? Because they are an inspiration to me because of the work they do. Jim Darlis, my aunt and uncle, the Hartmans. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were sitting down having dinner after being away from each other for years and years, and these kind of family reunions to me are very special because we finally get a chance to reconnect. And our family is spread all across the United States. And many families today are. They don't have as much time together as they would like. So we made a special effort during one of our trips here to the East Coast to spend time with you. And just in passing, during dinner, I find out that you have been embarking on a whole new ministry that really inspired me because I'm pursuing the kind of stories that you just told me last night. I want to mine this story a little bit today so our people in Compassion Radio family can understand what you're doing and maybe find an application for themselves. So, Darlis, if you don't mind me asking a little bit about your current situation, why has God made you sensitive to issues of cancer in the past couple of years?
For one thing, my mother came down with cancer before she passed away and was in treatment. So I even learned to appreciate more what people go through who suffer through the illness of cancer, as well as I'm a registered nurse. So I was in contact with cancer during my work situations many times and saw the deep hurt that people have when they're afflicted by something so terrible like that. And it just gave me a soft part in my heart for them.
And any good nurse should have that kind of empathy and compassion. It's what draws many people to nursing. I was reading this past week that nursing itself is considered the most respected and trusted of all the professions in the entire country. People respect nurses. They know they're honest, and they know them to be trustworthy and compassionate. We resonate with those things. At the most important times of our life, when we're hurting the most, nurses seem to be the ones that step in and make it possible to get through the impossible. I respect you for the years of compassion you've already shown, but you also come from a deep tradition of missions. Our family has a history of missionary endeavors that goes back for generations, and that informs me about the kind of things that I want to do, the stories I want to tell, the people I want to meet and introduce to our Compassion Radio family. Those kind of things came together and met in a very special way these past few years. As you become more sensitive to issues of cancer, as you become actively retired. So what happened that brought you more specifically into service of those who are going through cancer treatments?
Well, I had always been doing a lot of things through our church as far as helping people, but when I myself faced some physical problems where I couldn't do all that anymore, I felt a real loss. I needed to be doing something, but what could I do at this point in life with so many physical problems of my own? And then I was invited to a house one day to help with wrapping presents for cancer patients. Mm. And that's how I got involved with Fighting Cancer Incorporated.
And this little organization here in the Carolinas, Fighting Cancer Incorporated, sounds like a major medical or corporate endeavor. Well, you're not talking about fighting cancer by doing research to cure the disease. You are curing a disease, but the disease that you all are conquering and treating, as far as I can tell, is hopelessness fear. So how are you treating cancer that way?
We are going into chemotherapy lab in a hospital here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we are dealing with the people that are starting their first day of chemotherapy, which was a very frightening time for everyone that goes through it. And we are trying to minister to them and tell them that somebody cares about them.
And in what practical ways do you tell them that?
We have several people that we send in with gift bags full of gifts that are appropriate for chemotherapy patients, things that they can use with the problem that they're facing right now. And we also have an opportunity to take a Bible to these people with a tract in it. We are not allowed to personally give the plan of salvation unless they ask us about it later when they see us. But it's another opportunity to try and get people saved.
Now, of course, the critics of something like this would say, oh, you're just taking advantage of people's trials or tribulations to try to proselytize them and push them into some kind of faith. We know that not to be the case because there's a real need that expresses itself through trauma. And there's nothing that's not traumatic about facing cancer or the treatments that go with that. To be fully open with people about the faith that's meant something to you, that has transformed your life, is a compassionate thing to do, but it's really important that we do it compassionately so that it does not come across as being something about being a pushy evangelist. Darlis, I know you don't go in there as often as the volunteers who take frontline positions there, but you hear from them and you've seen the result of this. What kind of emotions do they face when they're meeting people for the first time?
When we see people in the chemo lab, you see a gamut of emotions with everything that someone could possibly go through, from feeling they've been deserted by their families who won't support them, feeling like they're alone, angry with God and everybody else because of what's happening, and especially the younger ones who are apparently dying at a younger age with cancer. Every kind of an emotion that I think that a human being could have, you run into on those people. And so many of them are searching for something because they don't have anything to hold on to. Yeah. They don't have the security of Christ that those of us that are saved have. You see them struggling so hard just to be able to hold on to something in life again that might mean something, because some of them don't feel they have anything that does mean anything anymore.
I imagine, too, that the volunteers have to come quickly to a place of understanding that compassion is required even when you have become the object of that anger. Cornered in every way possible. They want to lash out at somebody, and the person in front of them might be the very person that's trying to bring them comfort.
Yeah, but we want to be there to be the people that can give them comfort and hope and just to know they have somebody. If we get a nasty comment, we don't mind. That's what we're there for, to help them through these problems as much as we are able to.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
A survey a while back revealed that the average household in America has 4.4 Bibles in it, with some homes containing 6, 7, 8, or even more copies of God's Word. And that's wonderful. But did you know that there are places in the world where people have never even seen a Bible? That means they are literally starving for the essential life-giving power of the Scriptures. As you may also know, we've done many successful Bible projects over the years at Compassion Radio. This has helped to place over 500,000 of them with believers, pastors, and evangelists. And now as this year wraps up, we are so excited to tell you about our 2018 year-end Compassion Radio Bibles Project. It begins this month, and it is unique in one very important way. For the first time ever, Compassion Radio and this campaign are being underwritten so that every single dollar raised for Bibles goes to that project. Think about that. It's the biggest matching gift challenge we've ever offered at Compassion Radio, and there is no limit to this offer. The more you give, the more goes to the field and the front lines of gospel outreach. So please, pray big with us about this, and then act exactly as the Lord shows you. Make this challenge known to your family and friends. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school class, small group, or home fellowship. Bring it to your benevolence or missions committee. Pray about where the Lord might have you share this unique opportunity. This year, let's saturate the world with God's Word like never before. If you'd like to help place a Bible or a Gospel of John into the hands of someone who has never seen the Word of God before and wants it in the countries of India, Nepal, and China, please contact us right now. The number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also give at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word Bibles to 53445. That's Bibles to 53445. And you can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Just be sure to put Bibles Project in the memo on your check. Thank you so very much for anything you can do this month to help us in our efforts to get the Word of God out to those who need it and want it the most. God bless.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
When we see people in the chemo lab, you see a gamut of emotions with everything that someone could possibly go through, from feeling they've been deserted by their families who won't support them, feeling like they're alone, angry with God and everybody else because of what's happening, and especially the younger ones who are apparently dying at a younger age with cancer. Every kind of an emotion that I think that a human being could have, you run into on those people. And so many of them are searching for something because they don't have anything to hold on to. Yeah. They don't have the security of Christ that those of us that are saved have. You see them struggling so hard just to be able to hold on to something in life again that might mean something, because some of them don't feel they have anything that does mean anything anymore.
I imagine, too, that the volunteers have to come quickly to a place of understanding that compassion is required even when you have become the object of that anger. Cornered in every way possible, they want to lash out at somebody, and the person in front of them might be the very person that's trying to bring them comfort.
Yeah, but we want to be there to be the people that can give them comfort and hope, and just to know they have somebody. If we get a nasty comment, we don't mind. That's what we're there for, to help them through these problems as much as we are able to.
So when you hand a Bible to somebody with a tract in it and these gifts, what kind of questions or interest comes back from them when they receive these gifts?
I don't think there's been anyone that we've given a bag to in all of our 6 years of doing it that has not wanted to accept one of our bags. And many, many of them have sent comments back to us about how they came into the chemo lab alone. They had no living spouse. They had no living children that lived near them anymore. They came in on their own, and they were alone, and they felt so, so broken.
Yeah.
And nobody was there to care for them. So we wanted to be there.
Darlis, can you tell me a story of anybody in particular that you remember that really stood out to you?
The people that we've met in the chemo lab, many of them have sent comments back to us through our website, and we hear all kinds of stories about how God has used the little things in those bags that we give them to speak to their hearts. Several people have admitted being saved through the project, but that's not the main purpose of it.
That's an important thing to say, because again, the criticism might be that we're just trying to catch people at their most vulnerable moments to get them in the church, as if that's the objective. Yeah. The objective of compassion is to show Jesus, and if people can discover him without feeling like they're being trapped, then they discover the real Jesus.
Right.
If you don't mind, tell me some of the things that are in the bag so we can get an idea of what it's like to receive one of these gifts.
Some of the things that we have in the bags, they do change frequently. Depends what free gifts are sent in to us. We try to use everything that we can. The gifts are geared toward things that a chemotherapy patient would need. We give them a nice lotion that has an aloe vera in it or something like that that will soothe their skin, because chemotherapy affects every part of your body. We also put in there a soft toothbrush and a toothpaste, because a soft toothbrush is better for their gums, or they don't bleed as much through it. We put in things to keep them warm. The chemotherapy lab itself is ice cold. So we take them in a hand crocheted afghan or a nice heavy fleece to put over their body when they do their first chemotherapy that first day. And we help cover them up and get them nice and toasty, you know, and just try to be there for them. We have a group of ladies that make hand crocheted caps for their heads. If they do start to lose their hair, they have something to keep their head warm. And a lot of them wear them to bed at night. We also give them a flannel pillowcase for the same reason, to help keep them warm. We give them a pair of heavy socks to put in their feet. Comfort in physical way, we do. We also put things in there to give them something to get their mind off of what's going on to them. We give them puzzle books with pencils. We give them Sudoku books. For the ladies, we give them the ladies' coloring books with a pack of 10 colored pencils that go with it. We give them soft wash rags for bathing time. We give them, oh my goodness, each one of them gets a journal to journal their experiences as they're going through chemotherapy.
Which could be a treasure for their families.
Yes.
They may not make it through the treatments.
Right.
But it's time for them to leave a legacy no matter what happens next.
Yeah. I think the most profuse comment we get is about the cancer plaque that goes in the bag. It's a little encouragement in a poem form. It tells them that cancer cannot take everything from them.
I'm holding one in my hand. It's a beautiful gilded in black frame, and on this canvas print with these beautiful flowers, it says what cancer cannot take from you. It cannot take away your faith, shatter your hope, or lessen your love. It cannot destroy true friendship, invade the soul, or take away eternal life. It cannot conquer your spirit. I believe these words, and I've seen in our own family what it's been like to have to face cancer and face certain death. And the truth is, we will all face a certain death, unless the Lord decides to end history and bring us all up at one time, and that glorious hope of resurrection and transformation all at once for us. But until that time, we are told this is the truth about our situation, but this plaque is the truth about who we are in Christ. So you bring this truth to them, people don't throw that away. The word has power. And I see in this a prayer of affirmation, not of just vain hope or emptiness, wishful thinking. This is a statement about the kind of God we serve. This God is a God about giving gifts that cannot be taken away, that what He gives, no one can destroy. And when you bring this to people, you are affirming that. Dignity, the power of faith and community, manifests itself in powerful ways during times where you're struggling through a physical challenge like cancer. You were telling me a story last night, Darlis, about one of the men that you met there who saved every memento that came in that gift to the moment he passed away. Tell me about that story.
There was a man who knew for quite a while that he was going to die of cancer. They said they really didn't think they could save him. His treatment was all palliative, just to keep him as comfortable as possible. As he opened his gifts, he put aside some of them that meant something to him when he knew the end was coming. The chemotherapy cap to keep his head warm and the blanket that covered him. And this man actually died laying on his living room couch, but he had all these things that we had given him around him, the blanket on him and his cap on him and his socks on him. And his wife had sent a nice note to us thanking us for being concerned and caring about him.
Tell me a little bit about the people that are helping with this ministry that help you wrap the presents or collect the gifts.
Some of the gifts come in as free will gifts from cancer patients that have been at the chemo lab who have received one of our bags and they want to help us with it. So sometimes we get gifts from them. Sometimes we get them because of our connection on the internet. They see the work that we're doing and we anonymously get a box or a bag of things sent into us that way. Some people send us cash gifts that let us take that money and buy things that we need for the bag that we're not able to get otherwise. Then we have people who go up and put unwrapped gifts in a large gift bag. My husband and I take them and distribute them. About a group of 10 people wrap for us. And we give them 2, 3, 4 bags at a time to wrap along with bows and paper. And every gift gets wrapped individually inside the bag. And each one has bows on it, so it's all decorated up.
It's like going to Christmas or having a birthday party.
Yeah, and then we get them back, and then we put paperwork in there about our organization and what we're doing and take them to be stored until we hand them out. And then we have a group of people that go down to the chemotherapy lab, 3 men that work for us doing that, and they deliver them and sit and talk with the people down there before they leave.
And what kind of conversations happen with those volunteers that are present with the bags when they're distributed?
They give a little talk about what is in the bag, what it's for, what our purpose is, to try and encourage them and help them in any way we can. We tell them that they can call us on some emergency lines that we have if they ever need to talk to someone and need more encouragement and help.
So you have people set aside to do just the calling and receiving those calls when necessary.
Yeah.
If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. While you're there, go ahead and check out our newsletter to find out more about this ministry. And please think about signing up for our email updates. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider 3 things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field, both here in the U.S. and abroad. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word compassion, C-O-M-P-A-S-S-I-O-N, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.